The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
This is your main event, Mark's Podcast. I am your first host, lifelong wrestling fan, former radio guy, cat, and now dog dad. And just like WrestleMania, I only come once a year. I am Troy. And with me in archive audio form is the one, the only, the main event collector and figure hunting warrior. He is the WWE Walking Wrestling Encyclopedia, and he was my best friend for many, many years. He is Greg. Again, I've covered it in multiple archive podcasts since the beginning of the year. If you want to hear about why Greg is no longer here on the podcast, he hasn't left the podcast. You can go check it out in archive audio form. I'm not going to go over it again and take up more time. He would be like, yeah, just get on with the podcast if he was still here with us. But either way, yeah, man, everybody celebrate. Last week, we had some archives from this here podcast. You can go listen to the full WrestleMania show reviews in the archives now on YouTube or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Not all of them are up on Rumble, so if you're subscribed on Rumble, unfortunately, you're going to have to go check out on YouTube or iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And the archives are on there if you want to hear the full show reviews. But we just covered the biggest main events. But this week, it's all unreleased audio from this podcast. It was a former podcast that we had, where all this is from, but that has been lost to the ether since it's released. But I'm re-releasing it now because I remembered, oh crap, we did a lot of WrestleMania reviews on that other podcast. So I saved all the audio. I'm digging it up now, and just in time for WrestleMania season, everybody. I'm very much looking forward to WrestleMania. If you're a wrestling fan worth your salt, if you're a wrestling fan for any length of time, you care about WrestleMania too. All this tribalism and I'm an AEW fan, or I only watch New Japan, or I only watch the Indies. Like, cool, man. It's still WrestleMania. Like, give me a break. WrestleMania, whether you like it or not, whether you're willing to admit it or not, no, All In is not the biggest show of the year. No, Wrestle Kingdom is not the biggest show of the year. Wrestle freaking Mania, like it or not, is the biggest wrestling show every single year. And if you want to comment or send me a message on social media and either argue with me, that's cool, I guess. I'm just going to be like, cool, bro. Cool story, bro. Can you tell me again? That was the greatest story I ever heard in my entire life. Tell me again. Or if you want to actually have a discussion with me, I would love to chat with you either in the comment section of Rumble or YouTube, or if you send me a message on social media, my DMs are open. It's at @MainEvent_Marks on Twitter/X/Twix. And also on Instagram, it's @MainEvent_Marks. Check us out there and send us a message or send me a message. And I'd be glad to talk to you. I also want to know what your WrestleMania plans are. Are you watching from home? Are you watching with friends, family? Are you having a party? I'm watching with a buddy of mine. We get chicken wings and celebrate every single year at his house for night one. Night two, you know, I work on Mondays pretty early in the morning, so I watch on my laptop while my wife is watching something on the TV, and then I put it away and I go to bed. Yeah, so that's my night two of WrestleMania, but night one is pretty good. I'm going camping, and I'm leaving from the campground to go hang out with my buddy to watch WrestleMania, then going back to the campground and camp some more. It's going to be a good time had by all, everybody, and I'm looking forward to WrestleMania very much. And what I'm also looking forward to is you subscribing to the podcast, whether you're watching video or listening to audio. Please hit that subscribe button and follow us. We release more than just this podcast. I release the latest news from today's times, not just archived stuff like we used to. And I do Marks on Media on YouTube and Rumble. Marks on Media, I cover the latest and the greatest from the entertainment world, whether it's anime, whether it's TV, whether it's movies, whether it's video games. I cover it all. And it's not just news that I'm reporting on, which I do, but I also give my opinions on stuff going on in various industries. I give reviews on shows. I do little video essays on certain things. So I'm trying to step my game up, man, and I'm really working hard here. I got more video essays coming out in June specifically. I got a couple coming out because I'm going to be out of town quite a bit in June. Won't have time to record latest breaking stuff, so it's kind of evergreen video essays I'm doing. But check all that out if you would. I would greatly appreciate it. I'm also very excited about this audio we're going to be releasing today. I hope you are too. It is main events from some of our favorite WrestleManias throughout the years, and it has not come out on the podcast ever. So this is all new stuff. This is stuff, if you've only ever listened to the main event Marks, you've never heard this before, but it is all Greg and I. Every single bit of it is Greg and I, stuff we've recorded from various WrestleManias in the past. I hope you all enjoy it, and here we are now for your listening pleasure.
WWF WrestleMania 1.
Baseball great, former Yankees second baseman and baseball manager, Billy Martin is the guest ring announcer. You're a baseball guy. Do you know this dude?
You don't know who Billy Martin is.
I'm not a baseball guy. I know nothing.
He was hired and fired by the Yankees like 6 times.
Wow.
He used to coach the Oakland A's.
So was he trying to compete with Marty Jannetty?
I guess so.
Oh, man.
I think they brought him back a bunch of times. Yeah, he's one of the most famous managers.
Well, if we all learn something from baseball, it's as long as you don't say anything racist, you're fine. And even then, you still might be fine. Liberace is your guest timekeeper. He comes out with the Rockettes, and they do some kick dancing in the ring. Liberace has a shiny silver bell that he rings. You know what?
Ring my bell! Oh, sorry.
What the hell? I was going to say, there's a lot that I could say about this, but I'm going to leave it alone. The only thing I'm going to say is the famous Bugs Bunny line of, I wish my brother George could be here. Muhammad Ali is the special outside referee. Pat Patterson is the inside referee. They never explain why. He just is. Roddy Piper comes...
Because he's got to be when it's a celebrity wrestling. That's the rule.
I guess. Roddy Piper comes out with a full band playing drums and bagpipes. They get pelted with garbage. I felt bad for the bagpipers. This was back when it was okay to just throw garbage into the ring. The heels also get pelted, by the way. Hulk Hogan, for those of you that don't know, I believe he came out to Eye of the Tiger here. Right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Well, it's dubbed over by Real American, which I knew that was coming. So I was already set, and I'm like, I think they dubbed this over here, and I'm like, yes. It is Hulk Hogan and Mr. T with Jimmy Snuka in their corner. They're taking on Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff with Bob Orton in their corner. Piper and Mr. T start with each other. Gorilla Monsoon claims that Hogan's been giving Mr. T some wrestling knowledge, and Mr. T gave Hogan some street sense.
And he probably taught him how to love his mother.
Well, of course. But there's a four-way brawl. Orton tries to interfere, and Muhammad Ali just clears the ring. He didn't actually hit anybody. He just got in, and everybody just bailed.
Well, who the hell would sign up for a hit from Muhammad Ali?
Apparently an Antonio Inoki. Piper says that he's done, and he goes to leave. Hogan will not let Pat Patterson count him out, though. The babyfaces take control, and they eventually get back in the ring. Babyfaces take control. Hogan and Mr. T clean house. Piper and then Hogan get dumped out, and then Piper uses a chair, but there's not a disqualification. Don't know why. The heels get the heat on the Hulkster, which was crazy to me. Mr. T plays the impatient Robert Gibson role, always trying to make the save and just making things worse. Orndorff finally misses a flying knee drop, allowing Hogan to tag out. Mr. T doesn't do much of note, but he has a brief mat sequence with Orndorff, which allows Hogan to catch his breath. Hogan tags back in before Mr. T gets exposed. Orton tries to get involved again, but Jimmy Snuka stops him. Mr. T blocks a Piper swing, and they brawl while Orndorff and Orton try to gang up on Hogan. Hogan moves out of the way of a flying cast shot off the top rope, and Orton takes out Mr. Wonderful. Hogan then falls on top as referee Pat Patterson makes the three count. Hogan and Mr. T pick up the win in the historic main event, 13 minutes, 37 seconds, which by today's standards is a very short match for a Mania main event.
Weren't they all?
Yep, basically. Piper knocks Patterson down and leaves. He leaves Orndorff in the ring just to fend for himself. Hogan and Mr. T then help Orndorff up. The history, the hype, the importance, and the great characterizations are the big reasons to see this match. The match itself was kind of blah. But it is what it is.
Brother.
By the way, the entire concept of this match and the show in general was the idea of Dr. D. David Schultz, who pitched the idea of Hogan and Mr. T against Piper and him. Of course, Schultz got in a bit of trouble for cuffing reporter John Stossel, so he was replaced by Orndorff. Schultz would be gone a few months later, and Vince would be called a creative genius for coming up with a show like this. So there you go. As an aside, Gorilla Monsoon made reference to Pearl Harbor about 20 times on this show.
Yeah, total Pearl Harbor job.
Yeah, he tried to Pearl Harbor him. Oh, he just Pearl Harbored him. Oh, and he goes for the Pearl Harbor. I'm like, what the hell? Quit it.
I'm sure he didn't offend any Japanese people.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, well, Greg, them damn Japanese, they were evil. It's a little hard to listen to. I told a buddy of mine that, and his eyes got really wide, like, what?
WWF WrestleMania 2.
After that, we see a video package of Hulk Hogan no-selling his back injury and working out at his own personal gym. Dude, he's acting like he seriously got, like, taped up ribs and just acting like, I'm perfectly fine. What are you talking about? Ah, he's just not selling it at all. But then Jesse Ventura interviews King Kong Bundy and Bobby the Brain Heenan. Why does Bundy shave his eyebrows, by the way? He looks like a giant albino baby.
I didn't realize that. I have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, if you look at the interview, either he's got really, really thin eyebrows or he shaves his eyebrows. Like, if he wasn't so large, I'd think he had a sickness. Like, I don't know. Anyway, Lee Marshall introduces special guest ring announcer, LA Dodgers manager, Tommy Lasorda. Yeah, that guy.
That's one of the most famous managers in baseball.
Well, I don't watch baseball, and I don't give a damn about the Dodgers, so I don't know. But you're the baseball guy between the two of us. You know all this crap. But then Lasorda introduces guest timekeeper, child actor Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons.
Silver Spoons.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a show for the longest time. So he then introduces the special guest referee, actor Robert Conrad. Who the hell is that?
Don't know.
He started naming off some of the things he did, and I was like, I've literally never heard of one of those things. Oh, my gosh. But then we get to the main event of the evening. It's Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy with Bobby the Brain Heenan in his corner for the WWF title. Hogan is still no-selling the ribs, which everyone keeps pointing out are, quote, heavily taped. They're not. His stomach is taped up. His ribs are not even touched by tape. All right. Elvira says, quote, I haven't seen this much exposed flesh since I was at the Las Vegas spa show day.
My God.
She has a bunch of terrible one-liners. The first time Bundy's face hits the cage, by the way, it's clear as day that Heenan runs over and hands him a gig, and he's sitting there cutting himself. The camera's, like, heavily focusing on this. I'm like, look away! What the hell? I was like, the worst.
Well, maybe he was shaving his eyebrows. You don't know.
Oh, my gosh. To quote, like, this comedian Jim, or not Jim, this comedian, anyway, this one comedian, I can't think of his name now, he was talking about...
You're about to quote him.
Well, he was a larger gentleman, and he played the female part in Hairspray on Broadway for the longest time, and he said he had to shave his eyebrows all the time, and he said people would give him weird looks all the time, and he's like, they're like... why are his eyebrows shaved? Does he have cancer? Well, if he has cancer, like, he's certainly keeping up his appetite, God bless him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That's what I can think of for Bundy. I'm sorry. But anyway, Ventura says that Elvira's mouth is watering, looking at all that blood, and then Elvira says that it's making her hungry. That's just gross. Hogan literally no-sold the second avalanche of the match, and then just beat the hell out of Bundy before escaping for the win. Bobby Heenan eventually, even with a broken neck, he runs around the cage, gets into the cage. Then Hogan gets in and just throws his ass up against the cage and then hits a big old atomic drop on him to throw him outside. Like, God bless Bobby Heenan, man. What a tough SOB. Apparently, he was in the hospital with a fractured vertebrae, and they said it required surgery. He gets a call while in the hospital from Vince, says, if you don't make WrestleMania, you're fired. So he hops on...
and he goes and does all that.
Yeah, so he hops on a plane, flies to L.A., bumps around for Hogan, gets back on the plane, flies back to his hospital, has neck surgery. Like, holy hell. Like, God bless Bobby Heenan. Greatest manager of all time.
Poor dude.
You can hear him at one point, like the first time where he's trying to help Bundy escape from the cage, and then Hogan closes the door back, and he's like, damn it!
It's still going on.
Right? The main event of the whole night clocked in at a total of 10 minutes, 15 seconds. Man, you know,
man.
Other than the fact...
Still to this day, the only cage match in WrestleMania history, I believe.
Yep, it is. There have been... There were three Hell in a Cell matches, no regular cage matches. It's kind of weird. You know, I'll tell you this. If not for the fact that Hogan had tape on him, I would have never known his ribs had anything wrong with them. He didn't sell that at all. I was like, well, damn, Hogan. Oh, man. But yeah, so that was crap.
WWF WrestleMania 5.
It is the WWF Championship match in the main event, ladies and gents. It is the Macho Man Randy Savage taking on Hulk Hogan. This is the only world title match in history that I know of, or at least up until this point, where the champion enters first.
I like how Jesse Ventura remarks about that, by the way.
Yeah, he points it out. I didn't even think about it, like, because I have seen this match more than once, obviously, but... The first time I watched it, I didn't even think about it until Jesse pointed it out, and I'm like, he's right. What gives? Apparently, that was a Vince call, and Macho Man was not, like, for a shoot, was not happy about this. And I don't really blame him. I mean, sure, and I love Macho, but clearly Hulk was the bigger star. But still, it just, I don't know, makes the Macho look less than as the champion, you know? At least in my opinion. Either way, both men play psychological warfare for a while before having a great back and forth battle. This one was actually really good. One of Hogan's best matches, I'd say. Hogan gets busted open. Every time one of the guys tries like an underhanded tactic, Elizabeth does her best to stop it. So she is playing neutral here, which is cool to see. Finally, Macho Man berates her and threatens to smack her around. And then that leads Earl Hebner to make her go to the back. Macho uses his hands and his tape to choke out Hogan, then hits a flying elbow from the top and barely gets a two count. I mean, it was like one, two, and Hogan was out. I'm like, damn, dude. And then Hogan hulks up And you know the drill here. Three punches, big boot, leg drop, drive home safely. Hogan wins his second world title in 17 minutes, 55 seconds. Arguably Hogan's best match ever as he becomes, well, I'll get to this in a minute. What do you think? You think this was Hogan's best ever at this point?
At that point, maybe, yes.
Who do you think he had a better match with? Flair?
Flair at nine at Bash of the Beach 94, yeah. And then... Mm-hmm.
He had some really good
matches. I really like that match with Piper at Starrcade, though, too.
That one, yes. That was a pretty good one. He didn't... And I like Hollywood Hogan, but that was more over because of the gimmick, not necessarily his ring work. I felt he had a lot of bad matches as Hollywood Hogan. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, but no, you're not wrong. But also, just because there were never no finishes.
Right, yeah. Just a lot.
I think in order for a match to be good, it has to climax at some point, but it just...
Giggity.
Just dies off. Well, it just dies off.
It does. And like, I love the heel turn, but at the same time, I felt it was, like, super unrealistic with, as a babyface, he, like, no-sold everything and was, like, Superman. He becomes a heel. He's, like, the biggest chicken crap ever. And he has to have everybody else help him win. I'm like, eh? What? All right. Either way. I did not know this, Greg. I had to go back. I was like, holy crap, they're right. This was the only... Hulk Hogan, at this point, was the only the second man ever to officially regain the WWF world title.
Yep.
So at this point, there were only two-time world champions. The other being Bruno Sammartino, I believe. That's a cool set. I mean, the two guys that would go on the Mount Rushmore of WWE. I'd say it was, if you had to pick four, I don't know, Austin.
That's a whole different show.
Yeah. But if you're going to go with those two, I'd probably say, and, you know, The Rock is huge, obviously, but I'd from different eras, I'd probably say Austin and Cena. But regardless, Macho Man loses his marbles, storms to the back, just shouting and having a fit. And then Hogan must pose as the show comes to a close. I found this funny. First of all, this was a relatively short match for WrestleMania main events at 17 minutes, 55 seconds. Like, it didn't even hit the 20-minute mark. But I guess for that time period, that was normal.
Well, they also had like 100 matches before it.
It's true. But I found it funny that they cut the match like almost 10 minutes short of when they go off the air so they could fit in a good 10 minutes of him doing a pose down.
Yep.
Like, that just...
And the recap, too.
Yeah. Well, the recap only lasted like a minute and a half. Hogan's posing lasted a good 9 minutes. I was like, my God. Like, if this was modern day times, John Laurinaitis would be out there. Oh, your muscles look amazing, Hulk. And your tan is perfect. You need some oil? I can oil you down while you pose.
Oh, my God.
Not wrong.
Oh, God.
We're stupid. Anyway, that is that. That's the event, Greg.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, this was huge for many reasons. Crowd sucked, but it was a good show.
Well, I mean, I think I heard like the crowd was nothing but like just comp people tickets. Who just got comp tickets, you know, yeah. So just guests of the casino.
Yeah, well, that's why you see in the front row, you know, it was like Donald Trump and a bunch of his buddies that didn't pop for anything. So it's like, it's stupid. They said that's why nowadays they put the celebrities behind, you know, on the side that hard cam is. So, because it's like, they're not going to pop for everything.
WWF WrestleMania 10.
Finally, the main event. We're here, man. WWF Championship Yokozuna with Jim Cornette and Mr. Fuji versus Bret the Hitman Hart. Burt Reynolds, a.k.a. Turd Ferguson, is the guest ring announcer. Was he Smokey or the Bandit?
Smokey, I believe.
Okay, there you go. He's Smokey. and may or may not
have because he only smokes cigars. That's all he does. So.
Yeah. Well, he was the guest ring announcer, and he may or may not have been completely in the bag. Just putting that out there. Jenny Garth of 90210 fame is the timekeeper.
God. Was this before or after she screwed Brenda and Dylan up?
Oh, my gosh. I will tell you this. It's funny that you even know that. I know absolutely nothing
it's
about
it. It's a meme.
Was that the show with Jason Priestley in it, or was that another one?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I barely know who the hell was even in it.
Well, it was the line on Friends, too. He goes, oh, my God, I think Brendan and Dylan are about to break up. My heart's sinking. Like, what the hell?
Good Lord. Rowdy Roddy Piper serves as a surprise guest referee for this one. Yes, he was wearing pants. Thank God. Brett is still selling
Let's take a moment to talk about why TJ looks right at his pants.
Well, because usually he wears the kilt minus the pants. So, there you go.
That's when it becomes a skirt, I gotta say.
Oh my. Kilts are meant to be worn without pants, Greg. I'm Scottish. I know this.
Then why don't you?
Who says I don't? You don't know what I do in my off time.
Well, tweet some pics. Maybe the listeners want to see this.
They don't need to see my childbearing hips and my Betty Davis knees. Throw back the last episode. Go check it out. Brett is still selling his knee injury he suffered in the opening contest against Owen. This was actually really good. Yokozuna puts Brett over to the corner, or pulls him over to the corner, excuse me. Well, he does put him over, but skipping ahead. He sets up for the bonsai drop, but Brett moves and Yoko slips off the second rope. Brett rolls him up, kind of, to pick up the fall, giving him his second world title, 10 minutes, 31 seconds. After the match, the baby faces clear the, they just evacuate the locker room, and they celebrate with Brett in the ring, hoisting him up on their shoulders. Owen then comes out to glare at Brother Brett in anger.
Oh, man.
So there you go. Setting up for more epicness between Brett and Owen. Yeah.
This was a... I thought it was a great finish, too. Like, I mean, not that horrible roll-up, but like that. It's like the perfect setup for the summer.
Yeah, I liked it. I really enjoyed this match. I enjoyed this event. Back when I was a kid and... We're going to go in our Wayback Machine. All of you kids listening may not know what I'm talking about here, but back when you could...
Oh, my God, you sound like me talking to my crew at work.
Wow. Well, back when, you know...
You kids!
You could... Back when you could rent video cassettes from video rental stores, like Blockbuster.
And if you don't know what any of that is, go Google it.
Yeah, it's... God, I feel old, Greg. Not even 30.
You?
Yeah. But anyway.
Hey, shut the hell up.
Back when you could do that, I went to the video store. I've rented this thing like 3 or 4 times at least and watched it.
I think we all did, actually.
It was fantastic. So even as a kid, I knew this like event was great. You don't have to look back with rose-colored glasses at this one. It was one of the best manias of all time. I think this was the best mania of all time until 17.
I don't know. I don't know. I still think 14's really great, too.
Yeah, 14 was good. That was another one I rented multiple times, and that was the first mania that I was a fan for. But I don't know. I still think 10, I don't know, was more historic, I guess. I mean, sure, 14's ending was very historic, but still.
14's ending literally killed WCW. Ugh. I mean, when you really think about it.
It was the beginning of the end, yeah.
WWF WrestleMania 15.
And now Michael Cole, who looks like he's going through puberty as we speak, now introduces Jim Ross, who will serve as the play-by-play man for the main event, Thank God. By the way, I think JR had one tuxedo vest. It was the ugliest thing I've ever seen, and he wore it all the time.
Because the what he came out wearing at this show, swear to God, I saw him wearing that throughout all of 95. And it was the ugliest damn 90s-centric Nickelodeon-looking vest I've ever seen. for those of you wondering why he wasn't on the show, it's because he didn't really have the energy at this time. I think Bruce Pritchard was talking about this was the time he had a second bout with Bell's palsy and his mother died, like, all at the same time. So
I think he had that because his mom died, actually.
Yeah, I guess the stress made it worse, and he woke up the next day, and he had more complications. Not a good time for JR. He was in Michael Cole's ear in the back, but he didn't have the strength to sit out there and do on cameras and stuff like that all night. So it is what it is. But at least we get him for the main event here. How do you feel as Michael Cole, though, when it's like, good job, kid. Now get your ass to the back. We need the professionals out here for the main event.
Well, clearly they were grooming him for later, so.
Yeah. Well, he got replaced a couple more times, even when he was a veteran. So, yeah. Obviously, they recognize that somebody from the past is much better than you are now. But we're here, man. It's the main event for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship. The defending champion, The Rock, the corporate champion. He's up against Stone Cold Steve Austin. The beginning of this match.
Oh, first, before you start, I got to point out, I like how he came out in his shirt because he forgot his vest in Texas.
Oh, we're getting to that, yeah. Well, the pre-match stuff here goes on for a little while. I was like, so is the match starting or is it not starting? Mr. McMahon comes out to be the special guest referee since Mankind is in the hospital. They were not saying medical facility at the time. And he was unable to serve in that capacity, which earlier in the night, McMahon said, I've got a ref uniform in my bag, and yet he comes out here in a sweatshirt. Weird. So it's like, so did you not?
I forgot it in Texas.
Yeah, it's like, did you not have the, like, okay, whatever. Commissioner Shawn Michaels with his Dutch boy haircut comes out with Mike Chioda, however, and overrules the decision as the only person who apparently can name a special guest referee is the commissioner.
Yeah, not the owner or anything.
Yeah, I like how the commissioner, who is under the owner, he can overrule the owner of the whole company. This storyline was dumb. Sean also announces that the corporation is barred from ringside. Everybody except McMahon. I believe his exact words were, if I see any of their narrow asses out here.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, you've been studying their ass? Never mind. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, not at all.
As you alluded to, Austin wears a t-shirt to the ring because he tells a story that he left his vest at home by accident. He opened his bag that day and went, son of a. The Rock has his old, slow, do you smell what The Rock is cooking theme song that he used to have. They brawl all over the place, up to the stage, through the crowd, all over ringside. They use water, cables, chairs. I said cables, not cables.
This sounds like a terrible ECW match.
Oh, yeah. This was chairs. They put each other through the announce table. They use the safety railings, et cetera, et cetera. Like, this was something. I quickly remembered why this was the forgotten match of their trilogy, even though it was the first.
Kyoto, we're not fighting in the ring, bro. We're going to fight everywhere else.
Kyoto gets bumped because got to get a ref bump in there. It's like the fourth or fifth of the entire event. Earl Hebner now takes over. Mr. McMahon slides in the ring and knocks Hebner out. What was to stop him from doing that right out the bat? Right out the gate? Like, was he afraid of Mike Chioda?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's pretty buff.
Yeah, well, Chioda was the one allegedly taking steroids there for a while, so there's that. McMahon and Rock stomp Austin in the corner, but Mankind returns. He's back from the hospital. He comes out and he sends McMahon to the floor. The match continues, and in the end, The Rock nails The Rock Bottom before going for the corporate elbow, but misses. Austin goes for the stunner, but Rock blocks it. Rock goes for the rock bottom again, but Austin blocks that and finally delivers a stunner, which finishes things, and Austin regains the world title for a third time at 16 minutes and 53 seconds. Before we get to the post-match thing here, I just got to ask, like, why was Mankind able to come out and was like, I'm the ref now. Me.
Because reasons.
I realize they can use the thing, oh, well, he was supposed to be the referee because he won the match earlier in the night, and that was a stiff. Yeah, but he was taken out of that, and the commissioner, Shawn Michaels, made Mike Chioda the ref. But then Earl Hebner comes out there because I guess we assume that Shawn Michaels in the back was like, come on, yeah, just head on out there. But then he gets bumped, and I guess Vince took over, even though he couldn't really, but he did. And then Mankind comes out, and he's
you know, he can't really take over. He's just the owner. He has no say.
Yeah, but he's but the commissioner, Greg, the commissioner is the only one with the power, damn it. He has the ref power. Which makes zero sense, but it happened, sort of, kind of, whatever. But then Mankind goes out there. Are we to believe maybe Shawn Michaels is just back there sending in refs out there? Like, I don't know. I'm confused. In the end, McMahon eats a stunner after the match for good measure, and then Austin celebrates with a few Steve Weisers. He even has a beer bash with Earl Hebner, who hops on the second rope and toasts just like Austin.
Second time in like 3 months he did that.
Yeah.
Also had it buried alive.
Good Lord. Why?
Because it's Earl. Screw you.
Yeah, Earl must pose. Damn it.
Earl must drink beer. Damn it.
Exactly. Oh, a guy named Earl drinking beer. color me surprised.
Don't forget about the Ponzi scheme he had with the shirts.
Oh, God. Yeah. I screwed Brett.
You're damn right I did.
Uncle Dave rated this 3.5 stars. I think he was fairly generous. I don't know. Yeah. What did you think of this thing?
I thought it was a fun brawl, and that's what it was.
Yeah, this was not a main event of WrestleMania, in my opinion. And this was certainly...
I think they were going for a classic. I think they're going for a moment at the end.
Yeah. It just... I don't know, man. This nowhere near lives up to their next two. Not even kind of. At least not in my opinion. Like, am I wrong?
No. I think it's been unanimously agreed by everybody that this is the third of them all.
Yeah. Nobody talks about it for good reason.
WWE WrestleMania 20.
But this last match, do you get uncomfortable talking about this?
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, some people are. I mean, it is what it is. We know what happened. Calm down, people. Like, we're going to talk about it. The match was fantastic. It was Triple H defending the World Heavyweight title against Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit. Because Shawn was feuding with Triple H, correct?
Yeah.
And Chris Benoit won the Royal Rumble. He was on SmackDown, but he decided to go to Raw. And Shawn still wanted that match against Triple H. So before Benoit could sign his contract in the ring, Shawn took him out and then signed the contract. But Benoit still had his shot. So now there were two contenders.
Yeah, I hated it.
Really?
Should have been one-on-one.
I mean,
I hated it so much.
I don't disagree.
The match was amazing, but I just, even to this day, it was like, that was stupid. They could have had the triple threat the next month at Backlash, like they ended up doing anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say they did it anyway. But the funny thing was, I'll get to it in a minute, but this was an amazing match. I was torn on it because I was with you, but at the same time, I love Shawn Michaels. But I was a big Benoit fan at this time. Dude, this was a history-making moment for many reasons, but this was a first-ever triple threat match to close out of WrestleMania. And the way it ended was Benoit counters a pedigree into a crippler crossface, and Triple freaking H tapped out. Keep in mind, this was during his reign of terror, as many people call it. And so I was like, holy crap, he tapped out clean to Chris Benoit.
Yeah, after like 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, gotta make him look strong, pal. But still, I was so shocked as a kid. I was like, there's no freaking way he's making Triple H tap out. And then when he did, I was like, holy crap, Triple H tapped out! Clean! And what was funny was they redid this match, like you said, the next month at Backlash, and he made Sean tap out to the sharpshooter.
Yep.
So he got them both in.
I believe it was in Canada, too.
Oh, man. There you go. For those of you who have never seen this match, I would definitely encourage you, go out of your way, go see it. Some people say, it makes me uncomfortable, whatever. I'm like, all right, well, whatever, but it's a great match. So, but after the match, there was a big moment. Eddie Guerrero came out with his title, Benoit's with his title. They hug while confetti's dropping from the ceiling. I gotta ask, why didn't Roman get confetti when he beat Triple H?
Maybe have nowhere to put it in Jerry's World or something. I don't know. I mean, they'd have no reason to drop confetti in Jerry's World ever. So.
Oh my gosh. You're a dick.
Any Cowboy fans, I'm not sorry.
No, he really does hate you. So just putting that out there. But yeah, it was a great moment. I miss the confetti, man. They don't do it anymore in WWE.
Oh, well, thought we were going to get some at Fastlane. Remember, we saw some drop.
Yeah, we were like, the hell? It was residuals, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, so I don't know. But, you know, we say that, well, you know, I miss confetti in WWE. You remember when TNA used to abuse the hell out of confetti?
Yes.
Every time somebody won the title. RVD, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, confetti. Can you imagine trying to clean out the impact zone? Must have taken them 5 whole minutes.
I guess they couldn't get any pyro in there.
Yeah. Must have taken them a whole 5 minutes to clean that thing out. Like, that's ridiculous.
Man. If they were taking the time, it might have took up to 7.
Yeah. We're going to hell. We're getting a letter. Pissed off them 5 TNA fans again.
Well, actually.
Yeah. Send us a pic of your burgundy pants.
Oh, man.
Obviously, Chris Benoit brings his wife and kids into the ring with him, and yeah, it's a little hard to watch now, knowing what happened. But at the time, this was fantastic. I almost cried, bro. Almost cried, bro! But yeah, so if you can, you know, definitely go check it out. Great match. I would have given it about 4 stars, man. I loved it. But yeah, so that does it for Mania. We're going to take our final break here in a minute, unless you have anything to say about the match still.
No, I just love that moment at the end. Still one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, that picture, just that vision of Eddie and Chris hugging, holding their titles. Two guys you never thought would be champion at WWE broke the mold. It was great.
It was good!
WWE WrestleMania 25.
We're here, man. It's the main event. I forgot all the build-up to this. It was basically Orton wanted a WWE title match, so he beats up every member of the McMahon family and punts him in the head. The only one he didn't punt in the head was Stephanie. He just gave her an RKO.
And a kiss while she was out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened in 2019 either. Oh, think of all the social media outrage from that. But
yeah, it ruins everything.
Basically. Triple H gets pissed off about this. So, as we alluded to earlier, He busts into Orton's house with a sledgehammer. Orton, who is in the house with a paid actress that was supposed to be his wife, by the way, he chases him through the house, throws him out the front window, and the cops show up and arrest Triple H. And the stipulation that, like, just all of this stuff I mentioned, and, like, this was another question I had. Like, there was a part where, like, Orton comes to the ring with security protecting him, and Triple H comes out flanked by Shane and Vince, and they come to the ring. I'll say this, it made for a cool visual, but, like, they start beating through the security, like, to get to Orton, and then Orton takes off. Why did, like, doesn't Vince own the company?
Allegedly.
Doesn't he pay the rent in those buildings that they're in and pay for the security?
Allegedly.
So why the hell did he have to beat his way through them?
Maybe they're Randy Orton's private security.
Why were they allowed in Vince's building?
Maybe because Orton is and he brought his guests. I don't know.
It's like, that's the only thing that I was sitting there like, why did this happen? Everything else I was down with. That? Nah. But either way, I have a Mattel figure of this Triple H, by the way.
Yep, I have no doubt.
That's my new thing. We moved from Jax to Mattel now. But the stipulation after all of this, and the bad blood and whatever, is Triple H has a temper and he might lose it on Randy Orton. So Orton convinces Vicky to make the stipulation that if Triple H is counted out or gets disqualified, Orton becomes the new WWE champion. That neutered the match right there.
Well, yeah. There wasn't another thing you couldn't bring a sledgehammer out or couldn't use a sledgehammer?
No, it was just if he gets DQ'd, he's done.
No, there was something about a sledgehammer, and I'll tell you why I remember. Because he has a sledgehammer in his entrance, right? He blasts through the glass with
it. Yeah.
Well, apparently they said if they see a sledgehammer, he's disqualified. Every fanboy blew up going, well, yeah, the entrance, he should have been disqualified for the match starting. This was a huge thing. I'm not joking.
Yeah, but the match didn't start.
They said if they see one there, it was over.
Oh, hell. Well, that would explain why he did what he did later in the match, but we'll get to that. I don't know, because freaking Orton goes out and he grabs a sledgehammer. He wasn't disqualified.
Well, that was the stipulation. Triple H couldn't use it.
Yeah. Well, Orton, I'll say this. The match wasn't bad. It just could have been way better.
Well, Triple H himself said that they had an amazing match plan. And then last minute, they went all PG and said, can't do any of this, and became just what we got.
Well, yeah. Couldn't he, like,
he said he was, like, legit pissed.
This was a blood feud. Notice, nope, can't get disqualified. Can't get counted out. Nope. Like, are you effing kidding me? If any main event ever needed a stipulation, this was it. And even Randy Orton's blasted the match, saying, like, that stipulation completely neutered the match.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was weird. Randy Orton goes to climb in the ring at one point, and Triple H punts him in the face. And then the ref gets bumped. He blasts Randy Orton with a sledgehammer, and then he hides it back under the ring instead of the usual just throwing it out of the ring. And he wins. So Triple H retained. This...
Yep.
You know, you think about Triple H's record at WrestleMania, it's like 50-50.
It is. It's less than 500, so...
Yeah, he's got... I think he has the most losses in WrestleMania history at 12. The two men who are tied, or who he had a three-way tie with them, at one point was Shawn Michaels, Big Show, and him were all sitting at 11. And I can't remember which one. I think it was, did he have a match at 33?
Who?
Triple H.
Yeah, it's Seth Rollins.
That's right, yeah. I can't remember if it was 32 or 33. One of them was his 12th loss. So he, like, he beat the record for the most losses in Mania history, which blows my mind because he's had so many wins that people point to and was like, ah, it was BS. But I don't know, man. It's kind of like Shawn Michaels has 11 freaking losses, yet he's Mr. WrestleMania. My biggest problem with this whole scene is Triple H holding the spinner title.
Yeah, it looks really weird.
It's dumb.
Especially in his entrance, because they focus heavy on it.
Yeah. His entrance was kind of cool, but that was, dude, dangerous as hell. Because when he throws that sledgehammer for a split second when it shatters, you can see him jump backwards, trying not to get glass in him. He has the most dangerous entrances of all time, because
I'm the best.
He did that, and then I can't remember which one it was. He walked through and got burned by dry ice.
29.
Yeah. Good grief. Him and The Undertaker share that whole thing of they've both been injured during their entrance. Yeah, both of them have been burned. Third degree. There you go.
WWE WrestleMania 30.
This main event, man, is triple threat. Daniel Bryan won the right to be in it earlier in the night. Randy Orton was the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, carrying around two belts, which, you know, I'm sure was just lovely trying to get through TSA. And he went up.
Yeah. At, I always thought I was the only one that thought about that.
Well, dude, they talk about that with the Money in the Bank.
That's good.
They say the Money in the Bank thing.
I mean, that I can figure. It's a whole briefcase, but I never thought about, like, I thought I was the only one that thought about the belts.
I know. Think about the weird looks they get from people as they're going through TSA. Like, what is that? It's my title. My championship title. You have a belt in there, sir? It's not a belt, damn it!
It's a championship.
Break out the rubber gloves. Or the rubber gloves.
Good grief. Why?
Well, hey, you mouth off the TSA, man. You're going to pay for it. But
yes, that's fair.
Yeah, other people, like, people have talked about that the Money in the Bank briefcase is actually, like, it's become a rib because they said you have to carry that damn thing around through the airport, and it sucks.
I'll bet Dean Ambrose, Alexa Bliss, Kane, they were all happy.
Yeah.
They all cashed in that night.
Right? Yeah.
Jack Swagger held for what? One trip, probably? One car trip?
Yeah, something like that. And then, dude, can you imagine, like, Seth Rollins talked about how much it sucked carrying that thing around. And he held it forever. Yeah, I know. He said he literally carried stuff in it, like, for his luggage. I would. Like, crap. I mean, why not? You're just carrying around this big freaking briefcase that says Money in the Bank on it. You think you get weird looks carrying around a championship? Imagine that damn thing. TSA is looking at you like, what the hell do you do for a living? It's like, never mind.
I wear tights and touch sweaty men.
Oh my gosh.
Now there's anything wrong with that.
But yeah, the main event, Daniel Bryan gets taken out on a stretcher after getting put through the announce table by both dudes. He comes back later.
You
wins
know, it's
the title.
Real quick, I gotta say, that's the first time I've ever seen someone get an RKO, like, backward.
Yeah.
Remember, he got it from the powerbomb.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was a cool double team move, but I was like, it wasn't really an RKO, it was a neck breaker. Whatever. It was cool. They used that when they started going up against the Shield. So, it was all good. But yeah, Daniel Bryan wins both titles at the end of the night. King has the line where he calls it Yeselmania. Good stuff. But, you know, buttload of pyro goes off on the stage. I will say...
Ah, pyro.
Right? I will say, I thought it was weird that they were completely comfortable with putting three X's up on the stage like that. Like, that was the set. I mean, it looked fine, but, I mean, come on. You got a bunch of naked men in the ring rolling around with each other, getting sweaty, and then you got three X's up on the ramp.
Well, there was a match with, like, eight women, too, so...
Yeah, so yeah,
they kept it neutral.
Yeah, a little bit for everybody, I guess. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I never thought of that until you said that now, but...
You'll never look at WrestleMania 30 the same. Good stuff, everybody. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. Like I said, I hadn't heard this audio in years and years. I thought it was gone. So it was cool to go back and pull all the audio and see what we thought back then as opposed to today, where my mind is. And it was good. It was fun and cathartic putting all this together. It was fun and cathartic last week with just the main event Mark's audio, and this week with stuff from a former life and stuff I thought was lost in the ether from years ago, but I've pulled out, and I hope you all enjoyed it. It was good stuff, and it gets me in the mood for WrestleMania this weekend. I'm very excited. I hope you all are too. And thank you for joining me. Special shout out, as always, to the man himself, Greg. And I hope you all enjoy WrestleMania. I know I sure will. And I guess we will catch you all. I don't know when our next podcast is going to release. I'll think about it. I'll comb through audio and decide what I want to do. Keep in touch. And also, like I said, go subscribe to the YouTube channel where I'm releasing new stuff literally every day, except on Saturdays and Sundays. I take the weekend off, but Monday through Friday, new stuff every day, whether it's shorts or long form videos, new stuff, bro. And we will see you all next time here on the podcast. Go listen to the archives, support the show, subscribe to us on YouTube and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Later.